All right, now we are going to try to pick up where I left off last time. Actually, I missed last Sunday. But every January, I like to go over the visions and priority of the church so that you know what are our priorities, what's our vision. You know, some people have vision, well, we hope by this time next year we have 500 people. That's not my vision. Yeah, I hope by next time, we need to raise so much for the building project. Look at that. How could we top this, right? My visions and priorities are a little different than I think many. And you'll see, those of you who are with us, I think it was maybe the last message of December. It's a blur. I forget how many weeks have gone by. I've missed only one Sunday as far as I remember. But our first priority is, I'm going to review, by the way, if you have your fill-in, those of you who have small groups, this is going to be your first fill-in. Is the review is Upreach is a God-focused church. Ridiculous to have a church that's focused on anything else, whether it's, there's a lot of good causes. There's social reform, and there's the poor and needy, and there's people. Remember, I told you, even a good thing, when it gets in the way of a better thing, becomes a bad thing. And so too many times people get the focus and they go running off on their focus and they lose focus of the main reason of the church, God focus. As a matter of fact, I was laying in bed last night, like most of you do, and I couldn't sleep, and my mind was just racing, and I thought of a verse. I thought I had to get up and change my notes because there's a verse I wanted to share with you just quickly that illustrates Upreach, and it's 1 Peter 3:18, and says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Why did he go to the cross? So that we could have a nice little social gathering at church every Sunday. No, it's all about bringing us to God. And if you miss that, go home. You're wasting your time. That's what church is all about. It's Upreach. So that's why, by the way, if you missed the introduction a couple weeks back, the three-part vision of Calvary Chapel Eagle is Upreach, Inreach, Outreach. Today we're going to cover Inreach, and you'll understand hopefully a little better right now. That might freak some of you out. Inreach, what do you look within? No, you'll see what I mean. But you got to start. Don't get too excited. You got to start with a God-focused vision, okay? Because that's why Jesus died, to bring us to God. Now, again, I'll stress, the vision of this church is not numbers. One time somebody asked me, how big do you hope Calvary Chapel Eagle gets? What's your projected growth? I don't even think like that. I just want to teach the Word of God. Those who want the Word of God, you come and you get the Word of God. You're always going to get the Word of God, okay? I don't have a thermometer in the back wall that says, folks, we've been raising funds for the building project and we're halfway there. You're never going to hear that from me. It's not going to be about money or about numbers. It's going to be a spiritual focus. It's first of all upward, and then we're going to look inward and eventually outward. But I really believe the ministry of the church should be lived out by every member. And that's what we're going to talk about Inreach today, because it's body ministry. It's not just everybody comes to watch the pastor do ministry. Remember, and we're going to look at, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but you come to church to be trained for ministry. And my vision for the church, again, there's another thing that is my pet peeve. People like to get back to their roots. I once heard somebody say, I actually heard a senior pastor of a church say, we got to get back to our Calvary Chapel roots. And you know the Calvary Chapel roots is Chuck. My heart sunk because Chuck Smith is the founder. God bless him. But if it's all about Chuck, we're in big trouble. You know, if any church says we got to get back to Wesley or Wimber or Chuck Smith or Joseph Smith, God help us. You know, if you want to get back to your founder, you're missing it. It's all about Jesus. And so we want to get back to Jesus. Now, along with that, and some of you may be offended by this, I'm not into going back to being the. I do believe I'm old school Calvary Chapels, but I'm not trying to go anywhere. I'm there already, and I'm not trying to go back to. We got to go back to the Reformation. And no, the Reformation was a great response to what was going on in the Catholic Church at the time. But the Reformation had its problems. Some people say, well, I'm going to go all the way back to the first church, the Catholic Church. Really? Study church history. You don't want to do that. I want to go back to the early church. I want to go back to the book of Acts. That's why we just finished the book of Acts. Now we're in 1 Corinthians. I want to get as close to the original source as possible. I'm not looking to copy Orthodoxy or Reformation or Catholicism or, you know, you could go on and on with this. But I want you to know our model is not Chuck Smith. It's not, you know, I know there's a book called Calvary Chapel Distinctives. I read it once. But this is the book I read now all the time, okay? And so we're always getting back to that. So, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18 that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's my prayer, is that Jesus will build this church, because we're looking to Jesus, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one we're looking to. You know, if Christ does build his church, if it's really him doing it, not me, then we're going to be on fire. We're going to be ministry-minded, and we're going to be seeking to do God's will. So here's your second fill-in. InReach is to train up a congregation where the flock is ministry-minded. I'm telling you, one of the things that causes churches to die is they become an audience. They just come and watch the pastor do his thing and listen to the worship band. Let's listen to the music. And you watch everybody. You know, turn the TV off. We're not here to watch. That's a problem. We're a spectator society, you know. You need to come to church to hear from the Lord and to give. You come to give and receive. Lord, what do you have for me today? I've told you before, when I come to church, of course, I'm a little bit under the weather right now. I'm just coming out of my flu thing. And so I'm not as much the eye of the tigers as sometimes I am. But normally I come to church and I'm kind of prowling. Who do you want me to bless today, Lord? Who do you want me to minister to? Who needs prayer? Who needs a hug? Who needs a handshake? Who needs encouragement? You all need to come to church like that. Now, so like I said, there's times you come just going, God, fill me up. There's times we have nothing to give. I understand that. But the ideal in any church is that we're ministry-minded, we're in reach, we're coming to look around and go, Lord, how do you want me to be a blessing to those around me? Otherwise, we could all just watch church on TV, right? I mean, that's what people do. Well, I don't go to church. I watch church from TV or, you know, at the golf course. People got all kinds of things. No, the reason why we gather, because we need each other. I'm getting off on this. I'm never going to finish my message. Okay, so let's look at the next. I'm going to jump ahead. Again, the three-point vision is upreach, inreach, outreach. It's God-focused, body ministry, and then evangelism, which we'll cover next week. And so a part of the inreach, and you notice, those of you who are with us regularly, we're in 1 Corinthians, and we just got to the chapter on spiritual gifts, chapter 12. And it's my passion, my hunger, is that you will find your spiritual gift and come with it. Don't leave it at home. Come to church with your spiritual gift. And so that's why we gather, so that there's ministry that takes place. It's not just all about the pastor or the worship team. It's about all of us as a group. So let's see. The first text I want to take you to is Ephesians chapter 4. So hopefully you'll find it, Ephesians chapter 4. And the first, let's see, starting with verse 11. And this is a real foundation. You've heard me teach from this often. He himself, verse 11, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfected man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer, I don't want to lose you now, keep paying attention, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Father, I pray that you help us to understand this text today. Lord, I know this is the message. If we just understand what I just read, we've got it. So Lord, help us to understand and practice your plan for the church of all ages. Lord, we've talked about the outreach. You're first, Lord, your first priority. But now, Lord, help us to understand the importance of loving one another and how that looks in every church, how it should look in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So your next fill-in is this. The foundation of inReach is discipleship. And discipleship comes from the word, discipline, where you discipline yourself to follow a teacher. And hopefully you're all doing that on many levels, whether it's just your own private Bible reading. But when we gather, there's a special discipleship taking place. We're training one another and we're learning from one another how to be disciplined and follow Christ. And so I want to show you the four elements of discipline in one verse, of discipleship in one verse. And it's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You've heard that our midweek study is our Acts 2, 42 fellowship. It says this: they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayers. I mean, if you have these four things in your life, then you're going to be a healthy Christian. And I would say if you backslide or if you're backslidden, it's because you haven't been practicing and you're not currently practicing one or more of these four things. That you're committed to the apostles' doctrine. That's the whole New Testament. And that you're in fellowship, hanging around with others who are committed to the apostles' doctrine. The breaking of bread is actually communion, where we remember the sacrifice of Christ. We remember the cross. We do that, by the way, every Wednesday night at our Acts 2:42 fellowship. And prayer. How do you have a relationship with somebody unless you talk to them? How do you have a relationship with God unless you talk to them? Prayer. That should be a part of our private life as well as our public, our corporate prayer time. So these are four elements of discipleship. Now, one of the primary, and here's your next fill-in, one of the primary avenues of discipleship is our small group ministries. Our small group ministry. Folks, if you're not plugged into a small group somewhere, you got to get plugged in somewhere. And even if it's I know sometimes people's families, everything's going crazy, and you just have a family Bible study. That's good. Do something where you gather with others. And that's why we have our growth groups. That's what we have, men's studies and women's studies. Look at the bulletin. It's a time for nurturing Christian fellowship based upon the Word of God. It's important. And so it should be a place where it's safe to ask questions. You know, come on, Sunday morning, if you raise your hand, I'm not going to call on you, okay? We'd never finish the Sunday morning message. We got a schedule to keep, and I've got a message to give. Now, Wednesday night, I get interrupted constantly, and I love it, because that's what Wednesday night's for, okay? You got to have the small groups where you can have questions and interaction and a place to practice your spiritual gifts. I am convinced that every believer out here has a spiritual gift, whether you know it or not. And possibly you could come to church and not get a chance, not get an opportunity to use that gift. But I hope you look for a way, whether it's before or after church or whatever. I hope you look for a way to use your spiritual gifts. But it's easier in the small group gatherings. So I want you to know what your spiritual gifts are and practice them. After we finish this outreach, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. We're going to continue our study on the spiritual gifts, and we'll talk more about that. So, more discipleship. You could have a men's fellowship, a women's study, a married couple study, a midweek. Just look in our bulletin. There's enough to get going. Here's your next fill-in. My ambition is spirit-led congregation. I want us to be spirit-led. Now, a lot of people misunderstand what that means, because biblically, there's three ways to have a spirit-led congregation, or three things that should include. Some people when they say we're a spirit-led church, they mean look out. You know, then when sometimes people go, well, we're a spirit-filled church, sometimes it's a scary thing. They mean at any moment now somebody could stand up and hoot and holler and scream. And, you know, I'm not talking about weirdness. I want to tell you what spirit-led looks like according to Scripture, okay? Because spirit-led, now, I believe in the gifts. You know that. If you've been coming here any length of time, I believe that in prophecy and tongues, and I have my, I'm a card-carrying tongue speaker, okay? I mean, I believe in all this stuff. But a spirit-led church or a spirit-led Christian has three categories that it must include. I'll tell you ahead of time, and then I'm going to go over the verses. Holiness, community worship, and ministry. Holiness, community worship, and ministry. Those are your fill-ins. Now let me give you some verses for that. First of all, holiness. Romans 8, 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Have you ever heard that verse before? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And some people describe that as weirdness. No, you know what being led by the Spirit means? First of all, it means you're led out of a sinful lifestyle into holiness. It drives me crazy when you go to a church that everyone's hooting and hollering and they got prophecies and tongues, and then you watch how any of those people live outside the church. Holiness. That's the first characteristic, the first earmark of what being led by the Spirit looks like according to the Scriptures, Romans 8. Let me give you another one, Galatians 5. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Oh, does that mean yes, yes, oh, hello, yes, I hear you, Lord. Oh, wait, let me finish the sentence. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, to have the priorities of the Holy Spirit in your life rather than your flesh leading you, okay? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Listen to this. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Meaning, you don't have to try to keep rules. When you're led by the Spirit, you're living a holy life. So my heart for you and for this church would be that we learn to be a Spirit-led congregation, and first and foremost, that should show up in holy living. Now, I'm not going to give you a big list of do's and don'ts. Well, because of that, here's the things you can't do. I'm not going to put a trip on you. You need to read your Bible. Pay attention when you go to church or a small group. And it'll become very obvious to you how God wants you to live. And then you choose. Am I going to be led by the Spirit? Or am I going to follow the flesh? Now, let's talk about the second one, community worship. I really believe that part of being Spirit-led is that you're a worshiper. You're thankful. Let me give you a verse that shows that really good. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or wastefulness, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, what's that look like? Be filled with the Spirit. Well, keep reading. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means when you're talking among yourselves, you're worshipers. You're sharing scripture. You're singing songs. And singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being filled with the Spirit means you're thankful. It means that you're singing and making melody. If you're not a worshiper, something's wrong. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, how much Bible you know. If you're not one who has thankfulness in your heart and loves to worship God, something's broken. Get it fixed, okay? You know, it's not all about knowing the Bible. I've been a Christian for many years, and I could quote verses. So what? The devil quotes scripture. It goes on to say, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, in verse 21 of Ephesians 5. So here it is. I believe another picture of what being led by the Spirit is that you're easy to get along with. See, it's a submitting to one another. You're not contentious. Have you ever been around somebody who it's always like their way or the highway? You know? It's like you could never just go somewhere and when you're trying to decide, make a decision, it's always, all right, we'll do it his way. He's always got to get his way. I believe there's a problem with that. I think that when you're Spirit-led, you're submitting to one another. That doesn't mean you all submit to me. Okay, I'm not saying that. You give in. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're not hard to get along with. You're not always stubborn. You're not always have your way. It's like you're easy. Think about it, okay? This should work in families and should work in marriages. It should work in church, okay? And so the third characteristic of being led by the Spirit and being, so I'm losing my track here. Yeah, it's Spirit-led. Is ministry. And this is the part of the inreach I'm talking about, is that we are looking to bless one another, okay? Now, hopefully you're still there in Ephesians 4, and I want to look at something that many times people, I think they miss something in it. There's a great teaching of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters who they love to talk about what's called the fivefold ministry. How many of you ever heard of the fivefold ministry? Okay, and they make a big deal about it because they want to let you know we don't just have pastors, we don't just have teachers, we got prophets, we got apostles, we got the fivefold ministry. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We started there. Let's go back there. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors. I'm glad it says some. We're not all apostles. We're not all teachers. Some. Some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, you've heard it before. The fivefold ministry is the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We got the fivefold ministry. Anybody who tells me that, I say, then you are falling short. If you only got five, we got six. Because the sixth one is the equipping of the saints. The purpose of the five is to equip the sixth. And the saints, who are the saints? Point to a saint. Anyone here is a saint? If you're a saint, raise your hand. I just want to make sure you know who you are. That's important. I'm no delirious Christians there. And so if we realize that when we come to church, when you come to church and hear from the pastor or teacher, you're being trained for ministry. You're being equipped. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, notice it doesn't just give those five and say the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers do the work of the ministry. Oh, they do. But if it stops there, it's just some kind of weird machinery of a big organized church that the big shots with the crowns, the pointy hats and the staffs, you know. The point of these five-fold ministry is to equip every Christian for ministry. That's in reach. We are here to be trained for ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. I don't think that's happened yet, has it? So keep going, okay? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. Why do we need training for ministry? Because there's deceivers out there. There's liars. There's false religion. There's cults trying to woo you in. What, did you know that there's a new prophet that changed a few things? Come with us. We know things that those other churches don't know. Warning, alarm. You get back to your Bible, you don't need a new prophet. The new prophets are the dangerous ones. My pastor in California always used to say that if it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it isn't new. I like that. You could put a bumper sticker together if you want, okay? Where did I leave off? But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share. Folks, I count on you to be in ministry. If it's just me and you're all watching me do it, then let's just close down. Because we'd just be like every other, or a lot of other churches. God's goal is that you're all in ministry. And if I do my job right, you know that, and you find your gift, and you do your gift, okay? It says every part does its share. And it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Two things here. First of all, if every part does its share, then the body will grow. I don't think the church will be what it's supposed to be if I'm the only one doing the ministry. Or even if we get the fivefold ministry. We've fallen, sadly, from what God's ideal is. God's ideal is we're all in this together, folks. We're all in ministry together. Now, the second thing is, it says, for the edifying of itself in love. Now, that kind of sounds selfish. I'm edifying myself. But it's really not me, it's us. We're edifying ourselves. That's what inreach is about. Some people, when they hear the word inreach, they would think, oh no, the church is here to go out into the world, to reach the world with the gospel. Well, we'll get to that. But if we're not doing inreach right, why would you want to bring them in to be just like you if you're not doing what God wants you to do? And God wants you to be edifying yourself, each other in love. That's God's ideal. Upreach, inreach, outreach. Now let's look. I want to show you further support for the concept of inreach in a couple different translations. In the New American Standard, in Ephesians 4:16, it says, for building up itself in love. It's a legitimate biblical concept that one of the reasons the church does anything it does, it's to build itself up in love. We need to get bigger, stronger, better at serving God, and we should be building each other up in love. Also, the New Living Translation says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's God's plan for the church. Healthy and growing and full of love. Earlier during announcements, Chris says, we're a loving church. I really believe we are. I've had people tell me that I haven't felt so much love in a church, and that's good. Sometimes it doesn't work. Every now and then I hear somebody go, well, I went to church and everyone ignored me. Were you in the other side of the curtain? I don't know what happened, you know. Because for the most part, I really believe we're a loving church. In a humble way, I'm proud of it, okay? Now, remember the two greatest commandments when Jesus was asked what the two greatest commandments? He says in Matthew chapter 22, he says, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, but he didn't stop there because that's upreach. Love the Lord. What's the greatest commandment? Upreach. Godward. Looking to the Lord. Loving the Lord. But the second one, Jesus didn't want to stop. He could have stopped there. He could have said, if you just stay home and just love God, just contemplate your navel, go into the lotus position, and just love God. No, he didn't stop there because that's incomplete even. Could you believe that? Some people say, I don't need to go to church. I worship God at home. On my walk around the block. Well, you could, but you're ripping yourself off. Because Jesus said the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wait a minute. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Upreach. Love your neighbor as yourself. Inreach. We love one another. We care for one another. Do you see that I'm not just making this up? You know, these three points, upreach, inreach, outreach, it's just not, well, that's Pastor Mike's vision. This is God's priorities, okay? And by the way, if you're just visiting us, I give this same message once a year. It doesn't change. I don't go, what's our vision next year? Let's find a different one. When you found God's perfect bullseye, you keep aiming at the bullseye. This is God's bullseye, okay? Now, where we've been studying as a church in 1 Corinthians, I just want to go there and give you a little hint. We've covered a lot of this already, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4. Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. See, there's diversity and yet unity. There's just, we're all different. That's okay. You don't have to all be dressed the same and act the same. We're all different. There's diversity and unity in the body of Christ. But listen to this next verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, this is what we've been talking about. Normally, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when we pick it back up again. But it's the manifestation of the God's Spirit. Oh, I'll talk more about that in a second. Let me read this text. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. We've already covered these gifts in previous weeks. To another, faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, discerning of different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Now, the tongues we're going to be covering when we get back to this text. We didn't cover it yet, so you didn't miss it. If you're just visiting, keep coming. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, listen, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Something I keep telling you over and over again as we're looking at the gifts. You don't get to pick which gift you want to have, okay? That's why it's even dangerous when somebody goes, I want to be a pastor. Well, you might be one, but make sure God's calling you to be one. It's not just you. Some people want to be, I've seen them. Some people like to be pastors because they like to hear themselves talk. Or they want everyone else to hear them talk. I've heard people talk like that, and then you let them do a study, and everyone goes, he's boring. Or he's talking, but not making any sense. You got to make sure you do what you're called to do. Do what you're gifted to do. And so it's up to the Holy Spirit who is called and who is gifted to do it. There's other gifts. I would stumble, trip over my own feet. I want to know what God's called me to do and stand course and not try to be what I ain't, okay? And so it's up to the Lord. Now, by the way, what prevents you from receiving any of these gifts, prophecy or tongues or wisdom or knowledge? You know, there's all these different spiritual gifts, and there's more in other chapters of the Bible. But what prevents you? Can I tell you, it's your own refusal to receive? Some will go, well, if God wants me to have it, then he'll give it to me. It's true, but some of you people, he may be offering it, and you're going, I don't want that. God may be holding out to you a gift. You know, no, if I do that, I have to speak in front of people, or I have to say that foreign language, or I have to, you know, all the different gifts of the Spirit. It does take, to some degree, your willingness to receive what God wants to give you. So let me just stop right here and ask you, are you willing? Do you want everything God has for you? If God has a gift for you, but it takes you having to be using it, you have to be in ministry somehow, even if it just means prowling around like a tiger in here going, who am I going to bless today? If God has a gift for you, are you willing to receive it and use it? I think the biggest reason why a lot of people don't receive gifts is because, the second one came to my mind. Number one, you're not willing, but number two, this is one, this is two, you're in sin. I understand. If you're living in sin, I understand you don't want to be in ministry because sin ruins everything. If you're living in sin and you're living in a way that God doesn't want you to live, I understand, because then our ears are plugged up to the things of God. We don't want to be used by God. We know we're not in any condition to be used by God. I understand that. Fix it. Repent. Because there's such a better life God has for you. Oh, what a fulfilling life when we get out of ourselves and out of our sin and walk in the Spirit. Like I said, that's one of the characteristics of walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. What a full and rich life to live for the Lord with a clear conscience and just say every day, God, this is your day. I'm yours. You're my God. Have your way. What a wonderful way to live, huh? And so that's my encouragement to you guys. Okay, now, here's your next fill-in. One of the ways God wants to make himself known and real in our lives is through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I call this, out of the scripture, manifestation. Now, is that creepy or spooky? But the key word here is manifestation, because the way I have often described it, have you ever had, maybe it was someone saw a scary movie, or they went to a a place they shouldn't have gone, and it says, and the spirits manifested, or a ghost manifested. Now that's the negative end of it. But I tell you what happens, even in a scary thing like that, you do believe in ghosts. You do when you see something like that, right? I mean, when a spirit manifests, all of a sudden you're a believer, right? Just the opposite, in a positive way. That's what God wants to do in every church. When the Holy Spirit manifests, you do believe in God. You do. Because I've seen him work. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him work in my brother and sister's life. I've seen the manifestation of the Spirit because God has manifested himself through his Holy Spirit. That's God's purpose for the gifts. That we're built up in love and in faith because we've seen the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So that key word, manifestation, that's from 1 Corinthians 12, 7, that says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. How many of you have ever seen God work through somebody else? You ever see that? Come on. And you just, maybe it's a preacher on the radio, maybe God used somebody and you go, ding, God's real. The light goes on. God's real. Because the manifestation of the Spirit took place. Folks, that's God's plan for every church. It's not just, here's our unique and strange plan for Calvary Chapel Eagle. I'm just telling you God's plan for every church. I don't care if I can't do anything about it if they don't want to do it. I'm telling you, this is what we're going to do. And it's only going to work if you say, yes, Lord. It's only going to work if you say, God, I want everything you have for me. I want to be used. I want to know what my gifts are, and I want to use my gifts. And Lord, help me to be brave, that I'm not afraid, that I'll step out and do whatever you've called me to do so that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit becomes a real thing. Now, before we close, and we're going to close just in a minute. I don't know how much longer my voice will go. Anyway, but notice verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know, there are some churches that say, well, we're just not into that stuff. Well, then you're unbiblical. Well, we don't do that here. Well, then you're resisting the Holy Spirit. God's plan is that we are not ignorant of what. Now, it doesn't mean you know about it, but don't do it, okay? Oh, I know about that stuff. Just don't do it. No, I think either way could be ignorant. I think when somebody knows about it but refuses to live it, you're being ignorant, okay? God says, through Paul, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That means it's possible for brethren to be ignorant. Could you believe that? It's possible for true born-again Christians to be ignorant of what God wants to do in their life through the Holy Spirit, through the manifestation of the Spirit, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, I'll remind you, if you're just visiting, we're not a circus, okay? I tell the regular congregation all the time, I don't want weirdness, I don't want a circus, but I want the real thing. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to do what he wants to do in our life and use each one of us, okay? So don't freak out. You're not going to come when you finish this series and see us doing weird stuff, you know, hanging from wires. We just want to be what God wants us to be, okay? And so with that in mind, here's your next, and I think last fill-in. Your last fill-in is every believer is saved to serve. Saved to serve. I knew there was a traveling evangelist when I lived in California, came and spoke at our church once, and he had a ministry called Every Man a Minister. I like that, except nowadays you can't get away with it because it's not inclusive, you know. What do you mean, man? Okay, so let me say every believer a minister. Okay, I put that in your notes there. Every believer is a ministry. Every one of us is a minister. It's not just the professionals with the cards, you know, or the pointy hats or whatever your idea of a minister is. We're all in ministry because of the sixfold ministry. The five are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so I'm going to wrap it up maybe just a minute or two early. But listen, my question is, are you seeking the Lord for your gifts and callings? Because as we go over every January, the priorities and visions of Calvary Chapel Eagle, in reach is one of the big three. Please, please seek the Lord for what your calling is, what he wants you to do, what he wants you to be, that you might, I think the army says that, be all that you could be, but God had it first, okay? Be all that you could be. So, what's the next step? Well, I want to close in a time of worship and a time of prayer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And I want to actually pray for those of you who feel like maybe you've been kind of holding back. Maybe you've been afraid to know what your spiritual gifts are. We're not going to be laying hands on you today. We're not going to make you do anything. But if today you're saying, you know what? I'm hearing from the Lord. That word that you preached today, Pastor, God's speaking to me. And I've been holding back. And I want to give it all. And I want everything God has for me. And let's just hit the lights. We're going to worship. And if I'm describing you in a step of faith, I want you to just stand up and hold your hands up to the heaven. And by doing that, you're saying, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to know what my spiritual gifts are. Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Use me. I'm yours, and I'm not going to run from your calling in my life. And so as we close in this song, if that's you, just stand and pray that with me as we sing this out to the Lord, and then we're going to close in one final word of prayer.